We're actually holding in the middle of the Mishnah, on Yud-Chet, the top of Yud-Chet and Beis. We may as well start over at the beginning of the Mishnah. Okay, so we learned in the previous Mishnah about the Shavua that the Kohen Gadol makes, or not the Kohen Gadol, the regular Kohen, he writes it out on the scroll over there, and then he administers her the Shavua, as we discussed in the Gemara, and she answers, the Pasuk says, she answers, Amen, Amen. So, Al-Mahi Ameris, Amen, Amen. Why is she saying twice Amen? Amen Allah, Amen Allah Shavua. Number one, she's saying Amen on the Allah, on the cursed part of it. And number two, an Allah on the Shavua, as we discussed in the Gemara before the Mishnah, that there's two parts of it here. One is that she's affirming her innocence, and the other one, she's saying, also, I'm accepting that if I'm guilty, because after all, talk is cheap, you know, very nice, you're saying you're innocent, and the proof of it is. So therefore, she's also accepting on herself, if I'm guilty, if what I'm saying is not true, then I know that I'm going to be punished. That's how the Shavua works. It also includes that an amen that I'm not guilty of having of cheating on you with this guy who you suspected me of, which triggered the whole thing, and amen that it's not from anybody else also, which we started talking yesterday. This is called Gilgul Shavua, that the husband, there was no kinui for the other man, for any other man, so the husband had no particular reason to suspect that she's fooling around with anybody else. So therefore, he may not have done a kinui. By itself, that wouldn't be enough to make her have to swear, in this case, or to answer amen to the shavua. But because he already is in a position of being able to have her swear, or answer amen to the swearing, which is the same thing, on the one thing, then he can include in it weaker claims that by themselves would not be strong enough to trigger a shavua. That's called gilgul shavua. And it comes up in Dinei Mamonos, it comes up in any place in Halacha where one person has the other one take a shavua for something, there can be gilgul shavua involved.
Let me ask you a question. Does that mean the fact she has to answer twice amen, that if she answered once amen on the first, on the shvur wouldn't be good?
No, it just means that why is she saying twice amen? Okay, she's saying twice amen to include all these things. If she only said once amen, I guess the Kohen would prompt her, you know, there's two amens over here, you know, you've got to be agreeing to all of this. We're doing Gilgul Shavua over here. Okay, we'll talk
about
it.
That's my question.
Okay, so if she doesn't answer the second amen, okay, I don't know, maybe they prompt her to, or if not, then they assume that she's guilty of something, I don't know, whatever. We'll talk on Amen Beis, actually, a little more about this Gilgul Shavua business. Okay. Amen Shleis Satisi Aruso Nesua, she's also saying the first amen that I did not unfaithful when I was in Arusa, which again, the husband is not able to make her drink the surge of water on the basis of a steer while she was in Arusa, as we'll learn in the fourth parak. But nevertheless, it's included in Gilgul Shavua.
Why?
Because it's only when she's in the sewer, only when she's fully married.
No, but why? The
because when she's in Arusa, she's already also to anybody else, other than she's also
yes,
to anybody.
I understand
good,
that.
So then that's strong enough. If there was a steer, if there was a kinuri steer, then it'll make her also to her husband, but she won't be able to drink the surge of water, because the Gemara will learn there from Sokim that it has to be when she's married. Also in the Shavua, or when I was fully married, the Shemeres Yavam Uknusa, also not when I was a Shemeres Yavam, or after the Yubam took place, in none of those cases. Amen Shalenik Mesi, also the first Amen means that I did not become Tomei, meaning that I'm accepting the Shavua on myself, that I'm affirming that what I'm saying, what I'm claiming is correct, that I did not become Tomei, and also I'm accepting on myself the Ola, the Imdik Mesi Yavayubi, and if I did become Tomei, then I'm accepting the Ola on myself that I know I will be destroyed by the Sota water.
It's also the first Amen?
That's the two Amen. The first one is Allah Shavua, and the second one is Allah Allah. Rav Meir says there's another thing also. The first Amen means that I'm accepting, that I'm affirming that I did not become Tomei up until now, and the other one is that I won't become Tomei in the future. Meaning, as Rashi explains over here, and we'll learn about it in the Gemara, if she said, having said the second Amen, let's say now she is innocent of the charges. Let's say at some time in the future she is mizaneh with somebody else while she's married. Then the water will take effect right then, even though it'll be months or years or whatever after she drank it. But that shavua will still be hanging there in the air, and therefore it'll be able to be piled on her. No, she doesn't need another kinui steer. That's the point. Possible. Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about it in the Gemara. We'll talk about it, yeah.
How can you make something on the future?
She can accept on herself in the future that I'm accepting the consequences on myself for the future. Akol Shavin, both the Chachamim and Rav Meir agree, Shein Masne Ima Loya Kodim Shedisaris, he cannot include in this Tanai, he cannot include in this Gilgul Shavua if she was Mizana before the Eretzin, because that wouldn't make her also to him, Veloya Al-Ach Shedisgarish, or that he can't include in it that she's accepting on herself that I won't be Mizana after I get divorced. Because again, that doesn't make her awesome to him. If she did become, if she had tefira with somebody, and then she became tamei, and then the husband remarried her, then also he can't make a tnai with her. But again, because again, if she was mizana during that time between, we learned in Yevamos, the pasuk says that if a woman is married and then divorced, and then she marries somebody else, she's also to remarry her first husband. But if she was mizana in between somebody else, that does not offer her to her first husband. He's allowed to remarry her. So you can't include that in the tnai. Because again, that wouldn't make her also
when she was married with her first husband.
Then she divorced. Then she's mizana with somebody else. Then she remarries her first husband. That's allowed. That doesn't make her, it's not allowed. I mean, she's also for her to do that, but it doesn't offer her to remarry him. Toys for Chance brings a different gears over here what we're saying is also he can't include in the tnai that if she gets divorced and she has to deal with somebody else and then he remarries her, that it should have been included. That you can't do, because again, so that in that situation doesn't offer to him. Zach, while the general rule calls shetibo v'lohayis aser, in any case where she would be having relations and it would not make her also came, lohayis masne ima, then you can't include that in the tonight. That's why we said it can't include before erushin, after gerushin, between whatever, all those cases. They don't aser her to him, therefore they can't be included in the gil roshavor. The Mishnah mentioned the omen imish, that omen imishachar. Rashi mentions it on the pasuk also. There's a story involving the Orachayim HaKadosh with this. The Orachayim HaKadosh also brings this in his Pirush. So first, okay, let's start from the beginning. In Parshas Re'eh, in a lot of places in the Torah, the Orachayim's Pirush includes a lot of ideas, like the Kabbalah, a lot of Pnimiyus and Yonim and things. So in Parshas Re'eh, he has an explanation over there on the Pesukim that talk about the mitzvah of tzedakah, the mitzvah of lending to a poor person. He relates it to the whole Indian of Golos and Geula and Mashiach. He has a long pirush over there on the pasuk, and he finishes off with something about Mashiach Hashem Ushmoi Chaim, and his name is Chaim. The Orachayim HaKadosh knew that he is the potential Mashiach of that generation. But some 40 years after the Orachayim HaKadosh passed away, these chumashim were being reprinted. The one version of the story I heard is that a Pinchas Karatzer was having them reprinted. Whatever, the printer, a fellow by the name of Osher, did not hold of this whole thing. Either he didn't believe in Mashiach at all, or at least he felt that, you know, how could the Orachayim be described as him when he didn't live to see it, whatever. So he took out the words of Shmoy Chayim. On his own, he decided, you know what, I'm censoring them out, I'm just putting Mashiach Hashem. Leave after the Orachayim passed away. He left out the words of Shmoy Chayim. The Orachayim HaKadosh up at Shemayim is very disturbed by that. He says, you know what, you took out my name from where it's supposed to be, I'm going to make sure that your name gets in where it's not supposed to be. Where was it? In Parashat Nasai, when Arachayim is discussing the issue of the Sota, Omen Imish, the Omen Me'acher, the Ches got removed, and instead a Shin got put in. So now instead of Me'acher, it says Me'osher. Shortly after that, there was, in this Osher's hometown, there was a woman who was suspected of being unfaithful to her husband. They brought her to Beis Din to ferret out the issues, and she ended up admitting that, yes, you know, who was I unfaithful with, or was I cheating on him with? With this Osher, May Osher. And he was forced to leave town, and they beat him up. The Beis Din gave him a good beating and sent him away from town in disgrace.
The true story?
Yeah. You can find these chumashim still exist nowadays, and you can see where it says there in May Osher. Yeah. Yeah. Omer Rav Amnon, another Gemara says, Shemeres Yavam Shizin Sa'asur L'Yavamah. A Shemeres Yavam, which is waiting, her husband has died, she's waiting for her husband's brother to do either Yibum or Chalitza. If at that point she's Mizana, Asura LeYavama, then she's also to marry her Yavam. It's the equivalent of being Mizana while she's married. Mimai, where do we see this? Mitzvatani, because we see in our Mishnah, Shemeres Yavam Uknosa, that she says that I'm accepting, that I'm saying Amen, also that I was not Mizana while I was a Shemeres Yavam or after the Yibum. Now, so let's see. If you say that in fact she's Aser as Rav Amnon is saying, well, good, then that makes sense. Why he's able to include that in the Tanai? Because had she been Mizana while she was a Shemeres Yavam, and now she married her Yavam, who is the one now bringing her to drink the Sota water, she would be Aser to him, as Rav Amnon is saying, and good. Ella, yamut le'asira. But if you were to say, not like Rav Hamnuna, that she doesn't become osir, heichi mos masni ba'adah, then how could he make such a tenai with her? Well, it's not. We said in our Mishnah, zakva al kol she'ilu kibov le'tei asura le'i. If the be'ila would not make her osir to him, lo'hayim masni, then you can't include that in the tenai. So necessarily, if he's able to include that in the tenai, automatically that implies that it must be that it would make her osir to him.
And therefore.
Okay, that's what Rav Hamnuna is saying. You can prove that from our Mishnah. However, Amri b'ma'a Rava less hilchasek Rav Hamnuna. However, in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, they said the halacha is not like Rav Hamnuna.
Therefore,
that if she's Mizana during that time, it does not act to her Yavam. I, Elohadik Hatani Shemeres Yavam Uknosa. So what about what it says in our Mishnah? The answer is Hamani Rav Akiva. Yes, but our Mishnah could be going like Rav Akiva. Dama in Kiddushin Terps in B'chai Be'lavin, Rav Akiva says, we learned about this in Yevamos, that Kiddushin are not tofus in somebody who you're also to marry based on a lav. But the Chachamim say, as we learned over there in the Halacha, we have this in Yevamos. We have a three-way machlokas on it. The Halacha is, according to the opinion, Kiddushin are not tofus only by somebody who you chayiv koris for marrying. So Kiddushin are not tofus, for example, by close relatives, the ones that the Torah has machayiv koris for, but also women who are not Jewish, shivcha, goyter, whatever. But not
that's
the, no, they're, no, but those, but they're also not shayach. They're not the Torah getting the kedushin. But for example, kedushin are tofus. Let's say, for example, with a koyin and a grusha, or in this case, which we're dealing with here, a yuvama, for her to marry somebody else without doing yibum or chalitza is an islav. So it's a lav. According to Rav Akiva, kedushin are not tofus. According to the Chachamim, they are. Therefore, when
because
a lav is not chayiv karis. Right. Arayas, that's what we're saying. So therefore, umshavi lakereva. So therefore, Rav Akiva would consider a yevama marrying a zar as the equivalent of arayas. That kedushin are not tofus, and therefore also that. Because he says that a chayiv lav also. We learned about it in Yevamos. We learned about it extensively. Yeah. So therefore, according to Rav Akiva, so just like when it comes, according to Rav Akiva, a child from such a marriage would be mamzer. Therefore, if she is mezana with somebody else, if she marries somebody else, then also it's the same thing. It makes her also to yavam. It's the equivalent of her having done something which is chayav kares, which would make it that she. It's the equivalent of an eshes ish being mezana. So that's according to Rav Akiva. According to the Chachamim, not so. Now, Tosfos points out over here that actually, Tosfos says that nevertheless, even though they're saying that the halacha is not like Rav Hamnuna, nevertheless, that's not the case. Tosfos says the halacha is like Rav Hamnuna. Namely, that if the Yavama is Mizana, then in fact, we learned about in Yavamas, we had Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, we had Rav over there saying that Bechlal, Kedushin are not Tosfos, even though it is only an Issur Lav, nevertheless, there's no possibility of her marrying somebody else, not a valid Kedushin. And according to Shmuel, we said that maybe she needs a get, because we're not sure whether the Kedushin are Tosfos or not. So it comes out, in any case, it comes out that Rav Hamnuna is correct. She'll be also to her Yavam. I mean, the Rambam paskins like the Ami Marava. He paskins like Rav Hamnuna, not like Rav Hamnuna, I mean, that the Yavama does not become also to her husband. What about our Mishnah? Now, the Rambam does not understand our Mishnah to be like Rav Akiva. Because he also mentions that she has to say that I wasn't the Zana when I'm a Shemeres Yavam or Knusa. So how is that? In other words, so we're saying that okay, she doesn't become osur to her yavam from his nus, but nevertheless, because his marriage to her is a continuation of his brother's marriage, and when she's a shemeres yavam, the zika is still there. She's still in a certain way connected to her first husband, as we learned about in Yavamos. Therefore, he has the ability to mention that also, even though it's true that nus during that time would not actually osur to her or to him. Mashavi look at Erev, so therefore Rabbi Akiva holds that Chayve Lavin is the equivalent of an Erev. So Rabbi Yemiya, Maush Yachna Adam al Nisurin Hodeshonim, al Nisur Achiv. What about, can he include in the Tanai the first marriage? Meaning, so we talked about in the Mishnah where she was Mizana between the first and second marriage to the same husband. What happened? He was married to her, he divorced her, then he remarried her. is he able to include in his tnai that not only you were not mezana this time during our second marriage, during our remarriage, when I was mekana to you, but not even during our first marriage, when I never suspected anything? Can he do that? Or al misui achiv? Or what about can he include by gilgul shvua if anything happened while you were married to my brother? So again, you were married to my brother. He died. I married you by yibum. I'm being mekana to you based on now after the yibum. I suspect that something happened over here. Can he also include that just in case if anything happened while you were married to my brother? Tashma. That also come and prove it from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says this is the general rule. Kol shekibor v'loy tehei asur loy. Any case where she has relations and does not become asur to him, loy hayamas neima, then he cannot include that in the tnai, which implies ha asira hachinami, but if it's something that would make her asur to him, then he can indeed make that tnai. Shmami, no, that proves it. Which means both of those cases, yes, if she had been mizana while she was married to him the first time, she would be asur to remarry him. Because shem chasur labal ka asur laboyo. If she was married to the brother and she was mizana while she was married to him, and then he died, and then she said she's takanara to do yibum. We learned in the first Mishnah of the Masechta that in that case she's chalitza, not yibum. So therefore, yes. So in that case, he can include those.
What's the benefit of including?
That's the benefit of including. If the same as including anything else. If in fact she was mezana, for example, during her first marriage, even though, let's say, she wasn't mezana this time from the Kinnerin Seder, nevertheless, the water will still have the same effect on her.
So the water's effect is really directly connected to the time.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, actually, there is a bit of discussion among the Rishonim. Are we saying over here that the Kohen can include the Tanoim, or are we saying that he has to? One way of looking at it is he can include, these are all things that he's able to include, but not that he's required to. The other way of looking at it, the Ritva and other Rishonim say that, no, look, I mean, the fact is, if she had been mezana, let's say, during her first marriage, or some previous time or whatever, then, whatever, all these various cases, she would be also to him. Therefore, the Kohen is obligated to include them in order to prevent the husband from unknowingly doing an Isser. The issue would be that if she was married to him and then was mezana and he didn't know about it, and later on he divorced her and remarried her, from then on she becomes also to him. He didn't know about it, but she is also to him. Because he's the same person. He was previously married to her. We're not talking about first marriage, she was married to somebody else. We're talking about she was married to him. If she had been mezana while she was married to him, she'd be also to him. He didn't know about it. They got divorced. Now he remarried her, without knowing that she might be also to him. So maybe the Ritva says the Kohen has an obligation to include all these things in the Shavua, to actually spell it out to her that you're not only accepting the Shavua on this Kinnerin Seder, but anything previous, or according to the mayor, anything future as well, in order to prevent the husband from potentially doing an Isser.
That's the halacha.
No, the Rambam doesn't mention it one way or the other, so, you know, it's not like there's an official halacha passing on it, but you have Rishonim who learn it that way.
About the fact that maybe it encourages them to admit
it or something. Good if she admits it, then she loses the ksuba, and that's it, yeah. Mishnah continued, that Rameo says that the two omens are one that I was not tome in the past and one that I won't become tome in the future. Tanya, so we learn a brayser. Loik sha'omer of meir omen shlo yitama doesn't mean she'im titama mayim boit kinosim asha. It doesn't mean, therefore, if she becomes tome, the water already is going to test her now. Of course not. And in fact, Mephoshim point out that obviously it can't be. At this point, she has not yet been mezana in the future. The Ebesha doesn't judge a person about what they're going to do in the future. Ella, lich sha titama, it means that if in the future she becomes tome, mayim ma'ari noisa, then the water. The water comes back into her throat. Ma'arin, Rashi says, like when a person is trying to gulp down water or drink or whatever, they make a sound like in their throat, like ah ah ah. So that sounds like ma'arin. We're gonna have it on the next daf as well. We're gonna have that
gargling,
right? Yeah, the water like gargles back up into her throat. Oh, but you know, and it checks her right then. Actually, the Minchas Chinuch points out an interesting thing about this. We know, we talked about before, and we're going to learn later on in the and we're going to learn later on in the Masechta, that the whole thing, Meisaita, only works if the husband is menukum oven, only if the husband himself is clean of Avera, so according to Rashi specifically, the Avera of not having, of the Avera of if he has relations with her during the time that she's a Saita, then the water is in Lodic. And according to Tosfos, it means more general, according to Tosfos and the Rambam, it means more generally that he's clean of any sexual Averas. So the Minchas Chinuch talks about what the Gemara means over here is like this. Let's say she drank the water in Tavshin Ayin Hay. At that point, she hadn't been mizaneh, so nothing happened to her, everything is good, and her husband at that point was clean of averus also. Now, suppose the following year, Tavshin Ayin Vav, she's mizaneh again, but at that point, let's say her husband was also mizaneh. When we say over here that my ma'ara noza means the water follows the status that she is then. It's true at that point she becomes Tomei, and therefore we're saying the water should take effect. But since her husband is also Tomei, since her husband is also at that point not Menukah Ma'avin, then it won't be able to. That's what we mean. It's not Mayim Vodkenosa Ma'aksha, that it goes according to the current status, and right now her husband is free of Averis. No, it goes according to the status of when she's over in the future, then the water also, the Eivishter also considers and makes the water have an effect depending on the husband's status. That's what the Minchas Chinuch says.
What about the Kinyan Stira? Is it still we need it again?
No, you know, that's the thing. Even without Kinyan Stira, if the husband is Menukah Me'oven but the wife is not, then it'll be Ma'ar and so it'll have the effect. Because she accepted that on herself via the Gilgul Shavua now, according to the mayor. The Farshim also talk about the question, again, the next question actually goes better with the next piece of Gemara, so let's see. Can the person include in its tnai the second marriage? Meaning, again, can he say that, we said in the Mishnah that he can't include if you're mezaneh after I divorced you but before I remarry you. But what if he were to say, I'm including in the shavua that you are not going to be mezaneh if I divorce you and remarry you and then that you won't be mezaneh, which would make her also to him. Can you do that? Do we say, hashtami alay achirule? Yes. Do we say the fact is right now she's not also to him? Or the fact is he could divorce her, he could remarry her, and therefore that can be included. According to Rameh. Tashma, come, let's prove from the Mishnah. No, we say that he can't include before the erusin or after the divorce. That if she was in stira with somebody else and became tamei, and then he's going to remarry her. He can't make that tonight. But if he were to remarry her and then she becomes tamei, that tonight he could include, because that would ask her to him. Shmami, not so good. That proves it. If one's not married, yes, he can include that.
If he includes
the later. So that's actually so Mephoshim talk about, but the pasuk says this is the Torah of the Kinui. Malamacho is a shoitza b'shoina. From this we learn that the woman can end up drinking twice. She can drink once, and then if there's a future time, Torah saknois. There's Torah achas for all knois. That any kinui she can have to drink again. Rabbi Yehuda, remember the pasuk says zois, which zois is a mute, it means this. She'eno is a shoitza b'shoina, which means that a woman does not drink twice. Heyed Rabbi Yehuda says, Ma'aseh beheyed lefaneinu nechunya chofer shichin. It once happened that nechunya, the digger of wells, gave edus before us. And Mephoshim point out that really it can't be nechunya chofer shichin, because that nechunya chofer shichin lived in the time of the Beis Mikdash. Rabbi Yehuda lived generations after the Beis Mikdash was destroyed. It's really supposed to be nechemya ish shichin. Nechemya from the town of shichin. Anyway, he gave edus before us. Shavisha shoyse b'shoyna, that a woman can indeed end up drinking the soita water twice. V'kibalnu edus v'shnei anoshim. So we accept it as edus as far as two husbands. Meaning if she's married to another husband, if her original husband who gave her the original drink died or divorced her, and then she remarried, and she's married somebody else, and he was mekana to her, then she can drink again. So that we accept that Nechunya is talking about that. Avaloy v'ishachah, but not if it's the same husband. No, a woman does not drink twice, not with one husband, not with two husbands. There are three different opinions. The Tanakhama saying that she can always drink twice, no matter what, whether it's the same husband or not. Rabbi Hodo distinguishes between one and two husbands. And the Chachamim, the Rabban and Basroi, we're going to call them, who say that never. So this is where Mefarshim asks the question. According to the mayor, if you can include the future, then how is there shows of a shona anyway? If she's Mizana a second time, immediately it's going to have an effect before, without any kinu to steer. How can we even be asking whether she may end up drinking twice? Number of different answers that before. First of all, according to the opinion of Rishonim, that the Kohen doesn't have to do these extra tznayim anyway. So fine, if he did them, then they're included. If not, then they're not included. According to the Ritva and others, who say that you do have to include them, so the Minchas Chinuch answers very well. You have to include them. Nevertheless, what if the Kohen didn't? That's what we're talking about. Yes, if the Kohen included them, then there's no point of the whole question, because obviously she'll just blow up and die anyway from if she's Mizana again. But if the Kohen, even though he was supposed to, according to the Ritva, if he didn't, then you have this question. The Tanakhama Nami Oksiv Zois, fine. So what do we have? We have that the Tanakhama is learning it from the word Torah. But after all, the Pasuk also says Zois, which is a mute. But Rabbanan Basroi Nami Hoksiv Torah, and according to the Rabbanan Basroi, it's a Torah, which implies a ribui, one Torah for everything. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, fine, you're using Zois and you're using Torah. But according to the other two opinions, what are you doing here? Amar Rava, the Ishech or the Boyal Echad. If you have one husband and one suspected Boyal, the Chol Amalei Pligadei Neishu Seishar Tzivashayna, then everybody agrees that the husband cannot make his wife drink again for Kinoi, for the same person again. Because for that we use the word zeis. So in other words, the husband suspected her of being mizana with Yossel, so he tells her off to talk to him with Yossel. She's nister with him, she goes and drinks the water. Later on, the husband has the same suspicion again, and gives the same kinui again about Yossel. Nothing doing. She can't drink again.
Why is that?
So Rashi says the reason is because evidently this husband is a kantaron. He's just trying to upset her. He doesn't really have a well-founded suspicion. We already saw that he suspected once, and nothing came of it. No reason to think that it should be again. He's a kantaron. He's just trying to cause trouble.
Could be.
However, the Rambam paskins that actually, if the husband is mekaneh her a second time with the same boil, it has an effect in that it offers her to him. She can't drink the soda water because we have the mute zois, but it does make her offer to him.
So what happens?
He has to give her garnished. A guess. She has to give her a guess, isn't it?
Well, she may have a schuss, and may not notice that she's the...
So schuss we'll talk about later on when we get to the whole matter of schuss, whether it's tola or not. But Tosfos had said earlier that you don't have to wait and see whether the schuss takes effect. As soon as she drinks, if nothing happens to her right then she is mutter to her husband. Vishnei anoshim v'shnei boilim. On the other hand, if you have two husbands and two different boilim, so first she was married to Reuven and he suspected her with Yossel, and then she was married to Shimon and he suspected her with Mendel. Then everybody agrees that she can end up drinking twice. Just in Torah, because you have the word Torah implying that it can happen more than once. So even the Rabban and Basroi agree to that. When the Rabban and Basroi say, Eina Isha Shoy to Vashayna, they mean when it's the same husband. The machlokes would be, what if it's the same husband but two different suspects, or two different husbands and the same suspect. So either she was married to Reuven, he suspected her with Yossel and was mechanic for her and she drank, then he suspects her with Mendel, can she drink or not, or she was married to Reuven, he suspected her with Yossel, Reuven died, she married Shimon, and he also suspected her with Yossel. So, Tanakama sava Torah l'rabuya kuli. So the Tanakama holds the word Torah basically includes everything. Zois l'moti ishachar boyalacha. The word Zois means, yeah. Zois l'moti ishachar boyalacha. The word Zois only excludes the one case where it's the same husband and the same suspected boil that you can't make her drink again. Rabbanan Basroi, Sabri, the Rabbanan Basroi, the last Rabbanan, the last Chachamim in the Braisa, hold the other way around. Sabri, Zois l'moti kuli. Basically, the Zois is excluding everything. The word Torah comes to include the one case where there's two different husbands and two different boilim. That in that case, they agree that she can drink again. Rabbi Yehuda argues like this. Zois l'mo'ote tarti. Yes, the word Zois comes to exclude two cases. turdus the labris tauti, the word turdus comes to include two cases. Zois from uti tauti, when we said it, zois excludes two cases, that is, ish echor boil echor, or ish echor shne boilim, with one husband, with one boil, or with two boilim. Turdus the labris tauti, the word turdus comes to include two cases, shne anashim boil echor, shne anashim or shne boilim, with two husbands, regardless whether it's one boil or not. In other words, the point is, Rashi says, Rabbi Huda figures like this. Look, we have a ribuy in the pasuk, we have a miut. The Torah is not specifying what's included, what's excluded. Therefore, we have to use logic. It's more logical to say, what's included, what's excluded. Rabbi Huda takes the view, it's more logical to figure that if it's the same husband, you don't want her to drink again. Again, because like we said, the husband is probably a tantron. It's probably just this is a troublemaking kind of guy. He wants to upset his wife. Therefore, he's going to be mechanic to her again and again. So just like we say that if it's the same boil, no good. The same way, Rabbi Yehuda said, it's two boilim also. Once the husband knows that his wife is not suspect with one guy, there's no reason he should suspect her with another guy unless he's a tantron. Yeah, according to the opinion, he's 80 months of stira, fine. But again, stira without kinu, he's nothing. Did it without kinu is nothing. So, the fact that he was mechanic her a second time shows, like Rashi says, that he's a cantoron, that he's a troublemaker. On the other hand, if it's two different husbands, then it doesn't matter. The same boil, different boil in. Two husbands, there's no reason to think both of them are cantoron him. Therefore, it's more logical that we should accept the kinu and stira in both cases.
So that's what
the Torah is being marred by the both of them, yeah. Hadron alachoya maybe. One of the portion brings actually that actually Tosis brings it up here from a Yerushalmi that there was a case of a woman named Kurkumis who ended up drinking the soda twice and three times in the presence of Shmaya Vatalion, who were the heads of the basin at that time. So evidently then you have a case where it can happen. Where it can't happen. According to Rabbi Huda, it would have to be that she was married to three different men. And according to the Tanakhama, it doesn't matter as long as it's three different suspects.
What's the end?
Yeah. The halacha is like the first comment. That if it's the same, if it's different boil, then he can be mechanic to her again and again. If it's the same boil, then not. Continuing with the procedure of the Saita, we started the previous parak by mentioning that the mincha was placed into a basket. So now, he would take the mincha out of this basket made out of palm leaves. And he would place it into a kli sharis, because that's what a mincha has to be in. When we say Hoyanoto, Rashi says it means the baal. It means the husband takes it out of the basket and puts it into the klisharis. Tosfos says that actually no, it means the kohen. Well, it could be. You could look at it either way. I mean, okay.
Why should the husband bring the mincha?
Why not? I mean, the husband is the husband. They're still married. The husband is bringing the mincha. The woman doesn't necessarily have possessions of her own. If the mincha has to be brought, and the husband is bringing it out of his property, so he may well be the one to take it.
His property.
Fine, so he may well be the one. Take it out of the basket. Fine, so he can still be involved. Renoise now, Yadda, you place the kli sharet on her hand. The kohen maniach Yadda, mitachter uminifa. The kohen places his hand under hers, and waves it, because usually the kohen mincha needs to be waved. Now, what does it mean, mitachter? There's a couple of different possibilities over here. Does it mean that she's holding the basket and then the kohen puts his hand under hers? So Tosfos discusses based on Yerushalmi that I mean, how is he touching a woman who's not his wife? Ain't a double kier? So Yerushalmi starts by saying that you use an old kohen for the purpose. There'll be less of a problem of hearing her. There'll be less of a problem of him having improper thoughts. Or another possibility, the Yerushalmi says, is even a young kohen maybe, but it's only a short-term thing. It's only just for the minute over there when you're holding it. Therefore, it's not such a problem. After a cloth, what about the problem with using a cloth? Then it would be a chatzitza. So actually, if a kohen puts his hand, puts a cloth, and then she's holding her hand, and then the basket, you'd have a chatzitza. As a matter of fact, actually, there's another way of looking at it. Tosfos Shanz discusses the possibility that maybe even if you have Koyim's hands and then her hands and then the basket, there's also a chatzitza. Her hands are a chatzitza between his hands and the basket. Not the basket, the klishvaris. Therefore, the other way of understanding it, when we say takteha, would mean she's holding one part of the basket, like the edges, the Koyim is holding underneath. So therefore, their hands are not touching. Even so, there's no chatzitza. You'd still have your Shami's issue, because as they're trying to maneuver their hands to hold the basket, he may end up touching her. But that would again be either an old Kayin or a young Kayin, but it's only a momentary thing. Heinif, the heinif, so they'd wave it, the higish, and then they touch it to the corner of the mizbeach, as we learned at the beginning of the previous perek. Komat, he takes the kmitza, the handful out of it, the hiktu, and he burns it on the mizbeach. Vashan nechol akoyinim, and the rest of the mincha is eaten by the koyinim like any other mincha. First he would give her the water to drink, then he would be then he would offer the mincha. Rav Shimon Omer, no, the other way around. First he would offer the mincha, then he would give her the drink. As the pasuk says, after that, after he does the mincha, he gives the water. He gives the woman to drink the water. But if he gave her a drink and then was makar of the mincha, then it's kosher. Rav Shimon says, in other words, I agree, b'di'evad that would be okay. But the chatzchila should be the other way around, Rav Shimon is saying. Gemara says, Amalei Rav Elazar l'Rav Yoshiya d'dorei. Rav Elazar said to Rav Yoshiya, who was of his generation. The reason why we have to say this is because there's a Rav Yoshiya who was a Tana. Not much previous, but whatever. He was older, but the Gemara is going to say an expression that Rav Elazar said to Rav Yoshiya, which is not appropriate to say to an older Talmud Chacham. It's something that's more appropriate to say to a colleague of yours or a Talmud of yours. He says to him, "Loi pesiv akarach, don't sit down on your feet. In other words, don't sit down comfortably. Adam afarshus la laha milsa, until you explain the following vert." What is he saying? Like chase of a karach, a couple of different mafarshim have interesting verit lachanet. One of them is that since the Gemara mentions that in those days, we'll learn at the end of the Masechta, in those days they usually used to learn Torah standing. Only when there was yoda toshes kayach la'adam, when people started becoming weak, did they have to sit when they're learning. But before that, it used to be koshos miyoshav, hard things they'd have to sit down in order to be able to focus on it, and easier things they'd be able to learn standing. So therefore, Rav Elazar is telling Rabbi Yoshiya, I expect that you know the answer to this. To you, this must be such an easy thing. You don't even have to sit down and think about it. You should be able to stand and give me the answer. So Rav Gamliel says, but okay, Rav Elazar is several generations later, but still, there may have been that for easier things. They stood up. Anyway. How do we know that the mincha soita has to be waved? The pasuk says he has to wave it. The answer is by the minalon, fine. But how do we know that the owner of it, in this case, that the kohen has to wave it, fine. How do we know that the woman has to also participate in the waving? She's considered the owner of it. The answer is after yad yad mishlomim. We learn gzeirah shava with the word yad from the shlomim. Ksivah chavalacha chayin miyado. Yishuv, it says the kohen takes from the hand of the woman, the mincha. Or ktivah asim yadov to viyana. By the shlomim, it says the owner of the shlomim, his hands bring the parts that are supposed to be waved and given to the kohenim. Makan kohen, afahalan kohen. So just like. So therefore, makan kohen, afahalan kohen. Just like. Think of it. Over here, all the pasuk says is that the pasuk says the kohen takes the mincha from the woman and waves it. So it doesn't say anything about the owner. By the shlomim, it's the other way around. By the shlomim, it says yodav to viyana, the owner is the one who waves it. It doesn't say anything about the kohen. But by making the gzeirah shava, we learn makan kohen after halan kohen. Just like here by the soita, the kohen has to be doing the waving. So also there, the kohen has to participate. Or malahalan bailam, makan bailam, and just like over there, the owner does it. So also here, the owner does it. Okay, said maniach yodet tachas yodet bailam amenif. So the kohen places his hand under the owner's hand and waves it again, or in either different parts of the keli or the animal or whatever, or one underneath the other, as the case may be. Bailam being the issue in this case. They mention in the footnotes in the Orach Scroll Gemara, they mention that they ask the question, if the woman is considered the bailam of the korban, there's an opinion in the Gemara that the owner can passel the korban with a wrong thought. Can't she passel the mincha then? And they mentioned there that Rabbi Yosef Engel wrote a sefer that gave 80 answers, why not? I haven't seen the sefer, though, so I don't know what any of his answers are. I mean, one answer I imagine would probably be there is an opinion that when we say that you can passel it, that the owner can, that anybody can passel a koven with a thought, it means speaking rather than thinking. So in that case, just prevent her from saying.
So use the word thoughts.
Because thinking and speaking are very closely related, but it's called machshava, but it would mean a machshava that's accompanied by speech. I don't know what the 80 answers are there. There is an interesting thing, though, that I did see. The Hafla brings in his Pirush on Chumash and Tanim Yafud. He mentioned, how about when it comes to holding the carbon, and afterwards when it comes to drinking the water, what if the woman arranged that she should be tamei beforehand? She could make sure, for example, that she didn't go to the mikveh after the last time she was a nida. She could become tamei sherek, tamei mes, whatever, and then tamei mes, let's say, and then she'll be matamei the keli. When she'll be matamei the keli, when she holds it, when she holds it, and be matamei it and pass it that way. So he gives an answer. That is one reason why the Torah says that the sotah's mincha should not include any oil. It's dry. If it's dry, it can't be makabel tuma. What about the water?
Yeah.
He says, so what about the water? So he says also, that's why the Torah says the water has to be given out to drink in an earthenware container. An earthenware container cannot become tummy from the outside, only from the inside. So if the outside of it is touching her lips, no problem. She can't be makabel. Mishnah continued, Hainif the Higish. Kama Tchola, that we go through the whole sequence of how he brings the carbon mincha. Then the Mishnah says, Hoya Mashka, Vachakach Makrabat Minchasi, he would give it to drink, and then offer her mincha. Wait a minute, how Akrava? At that point, he's already been Makrabat. What are you talking about? That then he brings the mincha. Oh, Kama, right. What the Mishnah means is, Say to Menachas Kate, said, what the order of bringing the mincha? Hainif the Higish, Kama Tchola, if he hick, Vashai Nachalakainim, Uvashka, Gufa, Pligi, Rab Shimon, Rabbon. And then when it comes to the giving her to drink, on that Rab Shimon and the Chachamim are arguing. The Rabbanan Sabri Mashka Vachakach Machabeth Mincha. The Rabbanan holds first you give her to drink and then you bring her Korban Mincha, and the water will not take effect until the Mincha is brought. Reb Shimon Sava Machabeth Mincha Vachakach Mashka, whereas Reb Shimon holds Achachilla first you bring the Mincha and then you give her to drink. Shema Vacha Yashka, because then afterwards you give her to drink. Okay. Mishnah continues. Vim Hishka Vachakach Chikabeth Mincha Sheva. If you gave her to drink and then brought the mincha, then b'di'evet it's kosher. Turn it up on him. We learn in a brayta. The hishka matam alayma. What does the pasuk mean? Why does the pasuk have to say to us that he gives her to drink? I like find name of a hishka. A couple of pasukim earlier, it says that he gives her to drink.
But
that's why. Why does it need to repeat it? It teaches us, Shem Nimcha ka Megillah, v'amra eini shoysa, because if the Megillah had already been erased, if it had already been dissolved into the water, and then at that point she says, I'm not going to drink, ma'arvin oso mashkin oso bar kocha, then we force her to drink down the water. Ma'arvin is the same ma'arvin that we had before on Yod Chesem and Beis. Either it means to gulp it, like we force her to gulp it down, or the Aruch actually says that the Shurdish can also mean to bang up. So it means we beat her if necessary to force her to drink it. All right. He said, but yeah. Mashkinoz about kocha. Dibri Rebbe Kiva. That's what Rebbe Kiva says. Rebbe Shimon Oimer.
Because it was,
we'll talk about it in the Gemara soon about the details. But yeah. Rebbe Shimon Oimer v'acha yashka matam v'oima. Why does the pasuk have to say that afterwards he gives her to drink? But I like my name of a hishka. Again, yeah, previously where it says that he gives her to drink. So far, actually, we have three places in the Pesukim where it mentions giving her a drink. First, it's Vehishko as Isha in Pasuk Chav Dalet. Then again, Vehishko as Amayim in Pasuk Chav Zayin. And in between, you have Vacha Yashka as Isha as Amayim. So why does it need to say Vacha Yashka? It already says Vehishko. Elo la'acha kol ma'isim kulan amar l'mayla. It means, Rav Shimon says, that it has to be after everything that took place already. Meaning, Magid, Gimel Dvarim Ma'achvin. Well, meaning that there need to be three things that happen before she can be given the water to drink. Actually, Korav HaKoymet. Number one, you have to have the Koymet is offered on the Mizbeach. The Actually, Nimchak HaMegillah. The Megillah has to be dissolved. The writing has to be dissolved into the water. The Actually, Tekabal Aleh Ashvur. And it can't be that she's given the water to drink before she accepts the Shvur. Not necessarily in that order.
The kohenim
has to be taken and offered on the mizbeach. The ink has to be dissolved, and the shvur has to be administered to her. No, it's not in that order, because the shvur is administered, we learned before, the shvur is administered before it's written. Yeah.
That's unusual.
Okay, then, so when we say actually korobakomets, when Rav Shimon is saying that, the koimetz has to be brought before she's given to drink. Fine, Rav Shimon the time, eh? Rav Shimon is going according to his svara in our Mishnah. Dama makrevus menchasa vakach mashka. He says that you first bring the mincha, then you give her a drink. That's the point. We're going through each of these things. Why Rav Shimon is saying this. So the first one we understand. He's saying that the koimetz has to be brought, as opposed to the chachamim would say you give her a drink before the koimetz is ever brought on a mizbeach. Fine. Actually, nimcha mekim megillah. Then we have Rav Shimon saying the second thing, that she can't be given to drink before the megillah is erased. Well, what do you mean? Elamai mashkala. Well, of course. What are you giving her to drink? You're giving her the water in which the ink has been dissolved. So, of course, it has to be dissolved before she's given to drink. Amar Ravashi, lo nitzricha l'shirishumay nikar. Yes, but we need that pasuk. We need that pasuk. We want Rav Shimon to be telling us what if there's some marking left on the parchment. Meaning the writing has to be fully dissolved. If it's only partially dissolved, if you can still tell there's some black or whatever on the parchment, no good.
That's only according to Rav Shimon?
We'll talk about it in the Gemara.
Then you have to go back and dissolve.
Then you have to finish dissolving it.
That's also according to Hanim.
Yeah, that's how that. Yeah, the Gemara is going to talk about soon how Rav Shimon is learning from each of the three psukim and the Rabbanan are using the psukim for other things. Yeah. Actually, to Kabbalah, Shavua. How about the third thing? We say before she accepts on herself the Shavua, Mishtahu de la Shasya. So, what is that implying? You can't give her to drink before she's accepted the Shavua, her Michtav Kasula. Not implying, Rav Shimon would seem to be implying that you can write the Megillah before she's been administered the Shavua. How could that be? That if you write the Megillah before she's administered the Shavua and answers Amen, then it's worthless. The answer is kedinas, but you're right. Rav Shimon didn't have to mention that part. It's true that by the time the Megillah has been written, anyway, necessarily the Shavua has already been administered because you can't have written it before you administered the Shavua. So okay, Rav Shimon didn't have to mention that third thing. He just mentioned it. He just mentioned it to complete the list, basically. Maybe that's why he puts it last, even though it's out of order. So what is the machloikus between Rav Shimon and between Rav Shimon and Rav Akiva? Like this. Tlosach Kroik, Stevie. You have three psukim that mention giving her a drink. The Hishka Kama, you have the first time where it says Hishka, the Hishka. The Achav Yashka, afterwards you should give her a drink. And the Hishka Basra and the second, the Hishka, in Pasuk Chavzayin. So, Rabbanan Sabri, the Chachamim, meaning Rav Akiva, figures like this. Vihishka Kamala Gufay. The first Vihishka is teaching us the actual basic thing that we need to be told. Shemashka Vachachach Machabes Minchasa. That first you give it a drink, and then you bring the Mincha. Because that Pasuk, Vihishka Tabayim, is written before the Mincha is brought. The Mincha is in Pasuk Chavay. The word Va'acha Yashka teaches us that we can only give her a drink after the Megillah has been completely dissolved. Which is, again, that's a common truth. We get that. There's when there's still a mark left. V'hishka Basra, and then the second V'hishka teaches us, Shem Nimcha Ka Megillah Ba'amra, any Shoyse, if the Megillah was erased. And then she says at that point, I'm not going to drink, Ma'arinoiso Mashkos Ba'kocha, then we force her to drink. That's how Rav Akiva learns. Rav Shimon, figures like this. Ba'acha Yashka Rashka is the second time where it mentions the drinking in Pasuk Chavay is Chavav rather is Legufay. That's meant for the actual basic thing, the proper order of things. Shemakavus Menchasa Va'achachav Mashka. That first you should bring the Mincha, which is mentioned in Pasuk Chavay, and then give it a drink. Ba'acha Yashka and Pasuk Chavav. Vihishka Kama, the first Vihishka teaches us Shem Hishka Vachakavik with a Mincha Sekshera. That if B'dievet, he gave her a drink and then brought the Mincha, that B'dievet it's okay.
That's the first Vihishka.
Vihishka Basra, the second Vihishka teaches us Shem Nimcha Kamagila Va'amr Eni Shaisa, that if the Megillah was erased and then she says, I'm not going to drink, Ma'ara Naisa Mashka Naisa Ba'akacha. So therefore, in other words, so it's a difference between Rav Shimon and Rav Akiva. Are we saying the first Vihishka is telling us the proper order, and the second Vihishka is telling us about the Rishumi Nikr, or is it the first Vihishka is telling us the Yevid, if you, it is telling us what happened to the Yevid, The v'acha yashke is telling us if you gave her to drink first before the mincha. The second one is telling us the normal way to do it, and the third way is telling us about mashkin bal kocha, about giving her to drink bal kocha if need be. Okay, v'rabbanon. So what are the rabbanon? What is the Rabbi Akiva answer to that? He says, "B'diavad le'pasach krofa," and the pasuk is not going to begin by start saying what the not right way to do things. B'diavad, it's okay if you did it this way. In other words, it's more logical to say that the first vehishka is telling us what the proper way to do things, rather than Reb Shimon would be saying that the first vehishka is telling us if you did it this way, because the pasuk is not going to start off by telling us the b'diavad way. It's going to start off telling us the proper way. What's the other way? Yeah. Okay. Question is. The sover Rabbi Akiva Mashkin Ois Bal Kocha. Are you telling me that Rabbi Akiva holds that Tosfos? By the way, I should mention that Rashi and Tosfos both deal here with several different gersois in the Gemara about what exactly we're learning from each of the hishkas of Achal Yashka or whatever. Okay. So the sover Rabbi Akiva Mashkin Ois Bal Kocha. Are you telling me that Rabbi Akiva holds you give her a drink against her will? Val Tanya, we learn in the Brayso of Yehuda Omer. Kalbus trabauza matilum lefespia. They put an iron hook into her mouth. The kalbus is actually more like a Rashi. Rashi describes it as shnei shinayim. It's something that has two teeth on it, sort of like a thing that's sharp at both ends. You stick that into her mouth. Sheim nimcha kamegila. Amra, any choice, because this way, if the Megillah was erased, and then she says, I don't want to drink, Ma'aronoso, Mashkinoso, Bal Kocha, we'll be able to force her to drink at Bal Kocha. In other words, what we do is that Rabbi Huda is saying, how do we force her? What we do is we put in the spike like in her mouth, that way she can't close her mouth. That way she can't close her mouth and let the water dribble away. Before she explained based on Tosfos explains over here based on that actually what they do over here based on a Gemara and Sanhedrin, what they do is they start by using a tzvas tong to force her mouth open. Once they have it open, they stick in this talbus. But again, the idea is that way you know, once she has to drink, then she has to drink. Continues the Braisa. What are you talking about? The whole purpose of the soda water is to test her to see whether she's tame or tahor. Obviously, if she's saying, I won't drink, that amounts to saying, I'm tame. So what do you need to force her? So no, rather Rabbi Akiva says the difference is that if the kometz has not yet been offered on the mizbeach, the kometz of the mincha, then she can't change her mind. But once the claimant has been brought on the mizbeach, that's it. She's committed. She's got to go through with the drinking. The mechika was before. Well, again, according to Rabbi Akiva, the mechika is before that. According to Rabbi Akiva, the mincha is first brought, and then the mechika was done. The mincha is brought, and then yeah.
She has to drink regardless after the mincha.
But wait, let's see the next few lines of the Gemara, and we'll understand what Rabbi Akiva is saying. Okay, so anyway, the point of it is, we see that Rabbi Akiva is saying that you, why should you need to force her? You duka by medis. She's already, the very fact that she says, I won't drink, implies that she's guilty. So then what are you talking about that Rabbi Akiva is saying that we learned from the last Behishka that you forced her? According to your own svara, tikshulachi gufa. Fine. You can have a question. You can have the same question based on the braisa itself. We say mishakara b'kaimis eni yichol lachiba. Fine. You could ask by the same logic. Rabbi Akiva is saying once the kaimis has been offered on the zayach, she can't change her mind and say I won't drink because at that point we force her. Again, you could ask by lebeduka b'medus. At that point, isn't it already determined that she's guilty? So either way, so obviously Rabbi Akiva is not against the idea of forcing her. Even though he's saying Duka by Medes, obviously there is a case where he seems to say you force her. Namely, after the Megillah is erased, it's after the Kovas is offered.
Then you could
force her. But how is it? First, Rabbi Akiva is saying, why do we need to check her Duka by Medes? And now he's saying that now he's implying that you force her.
Maybe after you give the mincha, it's not an admission.
No. The answer is, Loi Kasha, Hodu Kahadra Vamachas Ristita. One case is where she's changing her mind and saying that I won't drink, because she's shaking with fear. The other is where she's calm and saying I won't drink. So therefore it's like this. If if it matters by you, sir. So if she's calm and not shaking, then when she says any scheisser, then it means obviously she's admitting. Then obviously she's admitting her guilt. So what happened? In other words, she was saying all this time, I'll drink, fine, let's go ahead with the thing, because she knows at the last moment she'll have the time, there'll come a point when she can say, any show, so I won't drink. So therefore, there's no point when you force her. There's no point when you force her, even after the Megillah has been erased, and even after the Mincha has been offered, you can't force her. Because we assume that she knew all this time she was guilty,
right.
And so what's the point? So Rabbi Akiva is saying, obviously, there's no reason at that point when she's saying calmly, "Any shosa," she's not doing it because she's not doing it because of fear. She's obviously doing it because she knew all this time she was guilty, and she just figured at the last moment, I'll effectively admit to being Tomei. So fine, then you can't force, then there's no reason to force her. At that point, let her just get divorced.
Your objective is there's two cases, one of fear, one when she does the fear.
Right, as opposed to if she's trembling, Rashi says she may be thinking even if I'm Tahar, who knows, the water may still have a bad effect on me. So therefore she beforehand she was thinking, okay, I'm Tahar, I'll go ahead with it. But now at the last moment, like she's trembling and I can't go through with it. So therefore that's we force her to drink it. Because at that point, this is also we learned previously, that at that point Beis Din tells you know what, look, if you're Tahar, don't be afraid. It's like a dry medicine on dry skin, it won't affect you.
No.
If she says anytime I'm Tomei, then that's it. Doesn't matter whether of fear, whether not of fear. If she says I'm Tomei, then that's it. The thing's over.
Even after
Nimcha Megillah, even everything. We're talking about Nimcha Megillah, or according to Rabbi Akiva, Karev HaKoyvet, but she's trembling. Therefore, at that point, we force her to drink it.
But we suspect it's from Goda. She changed her mind because she's a virgin.
Yeah. So what Rabbi Akiva means is like this: Kol machmas v'yusa klau klau l'shas. If she's calm and she never drinks, machmas v'sisa. If she's trembling, then it depends. Actually, Kol Rabbi Koymitz da'katila imchuk Megillah. If it's before the Koymitz was offered, where at that point the Megillah has not yet been erased, inami imchuk Megillah d'shloika din Ovid Koyanim. Or even if the Megillah was already erased at that point, which at that point the Koyanim, by erasing the Megillah, have done wrongly, the Machki, because they erased it when, according to Rabbi Akiva, they should first be bringing the Mincha and then be erasing this Megillah. So if they went ahead and did the Megillah first, then Rabbi Akiva says you can't force her to drink on that basis. Therefore, she can change her mind, and we won't make her drink.
Who says that trembling is only because of fear, not because of guilt?
Then she would admit.
Not necessarily.
No? Okay. Mishkara v'koymetz. If once the koymetz has been offered, the din ovid koyanim demachki. At that point, the koyanim are doing the right thing by dissolving the megillah. Loy matzu hadrava. Then at that point, she can't change her mind anymore. Okay. Then the question becomes kasha de Rabbi Akiva de Rabbi Akiva. In that case, we have two things that Rabbi Akiva is saying that contradict each other. In the first braisa at the beginning of Yom Testament days, we said that according to Rabbi Akiva, the erasing of the Megillah is the key thing. At that point, she can't change her mind. Here we're saying it's the Koymetz. Fine, you have two Tanoim who disagree within what Rabbi Akiva is saying. They both agree the basic thing about the proper order. They're just disagreeing which one is the triggering thing, which one is the one thing. May as well go through the Mishnah. Ibayulahu. Omra any shaysa machas payusa. What if she said, I won't drink it calmly, not trembling, v'chodva omra shaysa ani, and then she wants to say, yes, I will drink. Mahu. Then what do we do? Do we say, kibin domra any shaysa smay ani ka omra? Do we say that what she said, I'm not going to drink, is the equivalent of admission of guilt, v'kibin da'asak nafsha b'tumma le'matzi hadraba, and therefore she can't change her mind? Oduma, kibin domra shaysa ani, or maybe since she changes her mind and says, I will drink, Maybe it demonstrates that she only said to begin with because out of fear, and now she calmed down and is willing to go through with it.
That's the question I was asking.
Basically. Yeah. So take that you can't have her drink. I'm gonna have one last take. We're not sure, but therefore we can't make her drink on that basis.
She can't go back.
Yeah, she'll be off there. Yeah.
You lose.
Yeah. Yeah, well, she said any choice, yeah. Amar Rav Yehuda Shmuel, Sorech Shi'in Mar L'Sech HaMayim. You have to put something bitter into the water. Besides the dirt and that we mentioned, besides the ink, you also have to put something bitter. My time, Amar Kram, Mei HaMorim Shemorim Kvar. Because the Pasuk says bitter water, which implies that before anything is erased into it, because the Pasuk is talking before the Megillah is even erased into it, it's already called bitter. So it can't be called bitter because of the effect it's going to be having. It's called bitter because it already is bitter. There's already something bitter placed in it.
Yes,
the other thing, some of the Rama mentions, he put in, for example, wormwood or some other bitter substance like that. One idea, as Mepharshim say, the point of it is also, that also helps make it that if she's guilty, she will be more willing to admit it and not go ahead with the drinking rather than have to down this bitter-tasting stuff.
You could say the other way around. She's going to be more faithful.
Okay, but you know what? Other things being equal, we said before, we would rather not have the Eibush's name have to be erased for this situation. You know, if it happens, it happens. But then, okay.